Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a dream. Some of you in the congregation today might be old enough to remember the day these words were spoken, a warm August day in 1963. On the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, Martin Luther King Jr. outlined the dream that he had for his country. One where America would live into the ideals of her founding documents, especially the belief that all are created equal. One where children of former slaves and the children of former slave owners could sit down together in peace. One where people would be judged not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. One where signs would no longer hang over bathrooms and drinking fountains, robbing people of humanity by saying they were not allowed to use them. Now, certain parts of this dream have been fulfilled. Other parts of the dream await fulfillment. But I want to read to you one more paragraph from Dr. King's dream. He said, "I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, and the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." Does that sound familiar? Those words are from Scripture. Words from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Words of comfort written to a people in exile. Words that tell of one crying out in the wilderness and preparing the way of the Lord. These words were originally written as prophecy, and they are prophetic words that John the Baptist used to describe who he himself was when people were questioning him just verses earlier. "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us," his inquisitors demanded. And John responded, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." There's a reason that Dr. King, who was an ordained Baptist minister, used these words in his speech about his dream. You see, just after John identifies himself with these words, comes the gospel text that we read for this morning, where John points to Jesus, and some soon-to-be disciples see him. They then approach Jesus, and Jesus asks them a question. "What are you looking for?" In many ways, this speech from Reverend Dr. King is an answer to that question from Jesus. What are you looking for? This question from Jesus jumps off the pages of ancient text and jumped right into the mind of Dr. King as he was preparing his speech for that August day. And it's a question that now jumps through history and into our minds this morning. What are you looking for? We just followed the shepherds to the manger to see the newborn king on Christmas Eve. And now we're entering the Epiphany season of contemplation of who this Jesus is and what he has come to do. And with this one question, Jesus turns the tables on us. What are you looking for? Dr. King gives us an answer that echoes through the halls of time, a dream that in ways is fulfilled and in ways still awaits its fulfillment, a dream that's meant to bring about freedom, not for one or for some, but for all. What are you looking for? It's a perfectly reasonable question. A question that echoes down through the years and resonates for each one of us today. So think about this for a second for yourselves. What are you looking for? What brings you to church today? What made you decide to get up early before the sun was up, I would imagine, as I did, and come here seeking Jesus? What are you looking for? Are you seeking healing? Physical healing from a disease, emotional healing from a difficult situation, spiritual healing from a sin you may have carried around for many years? Are you seeking wisdom? The answer to some deep, burning question. Why are we here? Why do bad things happen to good people? What happens after this world ends? Are you maybe seeking joy, ready to give praise to God for a recent blessing, hoping that by focusing on the blessings in your life, the challenges will be made that much easier to face? There are many, many answers to Jesus' question, what are you looking for? Joy, wisdom, healing, righteousness, peace, love, acceptance. All these are reasons we seek out Jesus. All these are reasons that we pursue our Lord. For their part, the disciples don't have as well thought out of an answer as Dr. King did. When Jesus asks them what they're looking for, they don't really have an answer. They simply answer his question with another question. Where are you staying? We aren't told exactly what these first followers are looking for, and Jesus never got a direct answer from them either. Maybe that's because they didn't know exactly what they were looking for. Maybe they didn't know what it meant that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as John had told them. Maybe they didn't fully yet even know who Jesus was. What we do know is these two men were drawn to Jesus. They wanted to spend more time with him, hear his thoughts on life, watch how he led his life, to see what life had in store for this Lamb of God. I'm sure they had very little idea what was truly coming. They had no idea that in just a few verses, they would be at a wedding in Cana, and Jesus would turn an enormous amount of water into wine. No idea that the crowds would turn out to hear him preach and teach. No idea the people who Jesus would heal from sickness and even raise from the dead. And even if they could anticipate that, I can't imagine they would ever see the end coming. They would never expect one of Jesus' own inner circle to betray him, expect that he would be tried before Pontius Pilate, that he would be found guilty, sentenced to death, and crucified, the most horrible kind of death the people of his day could imagine, then laid in a tomb far before his time should have come. And even after going through all that, they wouldn't have anticipated that the end would not really be the end. They would in no way think that after his own death, Jesus would be raised on the third day, that his death would conquer death for all, that his resurrection would open the door to eternal life for all people. No, these first followers likely had no idea what was to come, the places and situations they would follow Jesus into. All they knew is that they were drawn to Jesus. They wanted to see him live his life. So they asked, Rabbi, where are you staying? And Jesus responded. Jesus said, come and see. Come and see the preaching and teaching and healing. Come and see the life, death, and resurrection. Come and see the love of the Father revealed in the Son. Maybe you are like the disciples. Maybe you're here this morning, but you aren't really sure what you're even looking for. Or maybe you were looking for something once, but that was long ago, before the pandemic, before it showed us what it did about ourselves and our world. Or maybe you were looking for something and you found it, or you didn't find it, but life has changed so much that now you're just not sure at all what you're even looking for anymore. Or maybe some of you are like Dr. King. Maybe you have a dream of how life should be. Life for you, life for your neighbors, life for all people. Maybe you've been given a vision of a direction and are being called to lead. Maybe you have that fire burning in your bones, and you're just waiting for that day when the mountains will be made low and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed to all. Maybe you do know what you're looking for. Or maybe you just know that you're looking toward Jesus, the Lamb of God, toward which you have been pointed. Either way, the invitation comes to you this day. Come and see. Come and see, an invitation extended to those very first disciples, an invitation that was spread from them to their friends and their family, an invitation that shared that good news of the Messiah to everyone they knew, an invitation that echoes down through the years and extends itself to us as well. Come and see what Jesus is doing in this world. Come and see what Jesus has in store for you. I assure you, whether you think you know exactly what you're looking for or not, the future that Jesus has in store for you and for this whole world will exceed your wildest dreams. Amen.